Welcome to our most recent podcast series, Collective Intelligence. At a moment when the shape of work is being redrawn, we seek to explore the magic that happens when groups perform at more than the sum of their parts. A theme we researched extensively in our book, The Social Brain, The Psychology of Successful Groups. Our podcast guests are all adept at this magical mathematics of connection, and I'm delighted to be joined today by Karen Silverman. Based in California, Karen's CEO and founder of Contellus Group, where she advises Fortune 50 companies, as well as the public sector, about how to govern cutting-edge technologies. Karen's a World Economic Forum Global Innovator and was member of its first Global AI Council. A lawyer by training, she regularly speaks at conferences and expert gatherings. And I'm much looking forward to our conversation today when we're going to consider the collective intelligence or otherwise of AI. So welcome, Karen. Lovely to have you.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, let's begin with Contellus, and perhaps you can tell me a little bit about the group and why you think it's important, the work that you do there.
So Contellus Group was born global and born with the mission to support leadership, wherever we find them, in the really hard work of bringing AI into their organizations effectively and responsibly. So we are a collection of domain experts with usually, you know, decades of lived experience in some sort of digital role, whether that was chief data officer or chief privacy officer or legal officer. And we come together in different combinations to work with our clients to really think through these novel issues around artificial intelligence and other emerging and frontier technologies that challenge the traditional ways that we do work. So we are a services company, not a tools company, and try to just advance our clients' understanding and effectiveness in that space.
You know, as I said at the beginning, our podcast is called Collective Intelligence. And, you know, you are thinking a lot about the governance of new technologies and particularly AI. And I'd love to hear your clear sense of how our collective intelligence, I mean, you and I, as we're talking here on the podcast, is different from that collective intelligence that we can garner as human beings from AI or from multiple AIs working together.
I think it's interesting because I think even before AI, there, you know, I think that's why your work resonates so much with me, but there's such a clear understanding in my mind that more minds are better, you know, more well-intentioned minds and thoughtful minds are better on a particular, in any, you know, complex challenge or question. And I think AI really exacerbates both the problem and the opportunity for collective intelligence, right? It highlights, on the one hand, how limited, you know, any individual human is, and on the other hand, how much we have to gain by thinking together. And that's because of the breadth and depth of its processing and sort of ostensible capabilities. You know, our job as humans is going to be to very much evaluate and judge its outputs, you know, for, you know, appropriateness or fitness for purpose or just even desirability. And that is going to be the collective work of humans, right? It's going to be very clear in a world of AI that you and I together will do a better job of understanding what the AI tools are producing and how to use those outputs effectively. So what is a, I think, very human foundation of how we think better in groups on certain kinds of issues becomes really that much more important when we import that into an AI fueled world.
You know, there's so many things we could talk about in terms of how we're educating people for this world, as you say, when the collective job of human beings is actually going to be an interpretive, a judgmental one, one of wisdom. But from where we sit, there's a sort of a huge enthusiasm for AI. We want people to come and talk about AI. We want to be a fear of missing out, a kind of a stampede towards, you know, the sort of the shiny answer for everything. And I wonder, Do you think this is a sort of period of hype and that actually the benefits and potentially the harms of AI are going to take longer time to mature and to materialize?
There is undoubtedly hype in the cycle right now, but that doesn't mean, or maybe and also, there are really important advances and developments that we need to start thinking about and preparing for and skills we need to improve and practice. Where the hype sits in that equation, I think, is in sort of the premise that the AI has the answers, you know, or that we already understand how the AI will enhance or augment our human capabilities. I don't think we know the answer. I don't think that is right yet. The tools are still very, very early days, and they have sort of some innate qualities and characteristics, good and bad, that we're still learning about and learning how to use. That said, I think they really are, as a category, AI is in fact going to change the way we do a lot of things and the way we think about the world and the way we think about our own capabilities and skill sets and value equations and things like that. So it would not be an exaggeration to say that it's time to start thinking about it and doing some of the pre-change and readiness work that's going to be required for the safe handling of these tools. But it is hype to say that we are already at that point where AI is doing the thing that it's going to do really well, and we should all just buy it and get on board. That is not where we are yet in the evolution of this.
We come across already areas where, you know, and this isn't just AI, where automation, computerization, AI is actually creating efficiencies. Probably there are job losses as a result. I know there's probably job creation as well. You know, from a human perspective, we've always been interested, and this is a very overused word, but we've been interested in the sort of transformational, you know, possibilities of human beings coming together and learning together and thinking together. And I wonder where you see the real transformational possibilities for AI. I know that's a huge question. I'm sorry, maybe you could give us one or two sort of examples of where you see, goodness, this is so exciting, this is happening, this is really game changer.
Yeah, so where this is really going to change the game is places, I think, like medical discovery. Right. And the ability to not just personalize medicine, but really understand the complex mechanisms like the human body or economies, right? Where you're dealing with systems that are in, you know, that are driven by, you know, infinite variables. I think AI is going to be extremely powerful in helping us see more clearly through those circumstances and that sort of fog. Right now, we're very much in the fog phase. But I think the real transformational, it's almost like supervision, right? I think is one of the, and that's going to do things like accelerate drug discovery. It's going to enhance the way we learn and teach and, you know, experience the world and each other, right? And in ways that, again, good and bad, but I think that's going to be really transformational. And one way to think of it, not to get too, you know, science fiction-y, is that it's going to open up sort of new dimensions of experience. And we don't really know what that's going to be like. Like, you know, so when we, you know, look at a, you know, we used to look at signage or billboards, you know, and they were very static, and they, we would, you know, we would paper them up on the wall and they'd be there until someone took them down or papered over them. And now we've got these digital screens that are dynamic and can, in fact, in their creepiest manifestation, recognize you as you walk by, right? But it's a very dynamic environment. I think AI is going to create or help us create materials that are changeable and, you know, entertainment and education that is immersive. And, you know, we're going to live in a world that's much more blended in terms of what we perceive and how we go through it. And that can be very exciting. It can also be a little overwhelming. And so there's a huge human component to that, but we haven't started seeing that yet. Really, what we're still seeing right now is people trying to figure out how to use these tools to summarize their, you know, long texts and stock grocery store shelves more efficiently and write board minutes you know, more consistently. So not super compelling use cases, but where we have a repetitive process that we know is tedious and humans don't do particularly well, these tools will be a great augmentation, right? Mm-hmm. So it's really tasks first that we're going to see get redesigned more than it is whole jobs, I think. In the most part, there are some jobs that are probably going to be displaced sooner than others, but it's useful more to think about the tasks than it is to think about the whole jobs in the first instance.
Interesting. When you were just talking now, you talked about, well, you know, you can go past a billboard and it will, you know who you are. And you said that's perhaps a bit creepy. And I wonder, I know a lot of your work is spent thinking around ethics and thinking about particularly those people like boards or C-suite executives who have responsibility for what's under the bonnet, if you will, in terms of, you know, artificial intelligence or different sorts of technologies. And I wonder, you know, when it comes to leadership, something we think a lot about, and again, this is another huge question. So what do you think the leaders you come across are perhaps not as wary of or aware of or asking questions about in the way that they should?
Leaders are people too. So which I know we agree on that. And so they come in all, you know, shapes and sizes on this issue, right? And as I say, everybody starts the movie in a different place. And so one part of our job is to figure out where they are in that journey and sort of how to backfill things, steps that might have been missed, and how to anticipate sort of next steps. And that's partly what makes the work so interesting. But I think one of the things I see, particularly leaders who are not in developer space, but who are more in the deployer space, like they're users of the technology, maybe at massive scale for their organizations, but they're not building the foundational technologies. I think it's more that there's a lot of wishful thinking going on, that the technologies are arriving fit for use. Right. That they just, you know, that they're like the technologies we've used before, that you're not installing an enterprise financial or document management system that you don't have a great deal of confidence kind of does exactly what it says it's going to do, you know, not just most of the time, but kind of all the time. AI is different and it's much more dynamic and it's much more user dependent. How it works is very much a byproduct of how it is used, and how well it works is still a function of how well it is used, in addition to, you know, how well it's designed, of course. And so I think this idea that it's, you can just plug it in is something we're still getting over a little bit, that this is all going to take work, and there are new skills that we're going to need to invest in, and new infrastructure that we're going to need to invest in order to use the technologies well. And the world is still sort of catching up with that concept.
Right, completely makes sense. And I think on that point of using the technologies well, I know that you've done quite a lot of work with the public sector and thinking about governance, thinking about regulation. As you, someone who knows much more than I do, you know, where are the discussions around regulation? I mean, is it a genie that's got out of the bottle and, you know, we can't put it back? Or, you know, what's your level of optimism that this fantastic technology set of tools can be used for, you know, for the good, and that there can be sort of some guardrails around it? I don't know what your thinking is here.
I am optimistic when I see organizations leaning in to that question. I am less optimistic when I encounter organizations or people who assume that will be figured out somewhere else, right? So for the organizations that take that on board and really try to do the work, I'm actually optimistic that there are, and this goes to your point about collective intelligence, there are ways we can come together either as nations or as companies or as families to manage these technologies well, and for our benefit. I think if we don't do that affirmative management work, it may not end well, right? I mean, if nature takes its course, or we let other people decide for us, or assume that's somebody else's job, we may not like where we end up. It's a little bit, I think, in this respect, I think it's a little bit like driving. The road system requires drivers to be trained and skilled and sort of persistently vigilant, right? It's not something you do once and then don't think about again is every time you get in a car, you're responsible for, you know, not running your neighbors over. And I think AI is a little bit more like that, right? This is going to end up feeling like a practice more than a project once we really figure out how it is integrated into our lives.
I love that. It's a practice more than a project. That really speaks to me. You know, you're an advisor, you're called into people by groups of people who are wanting to think more in a more enlightened way about their use of these tools. Can I ask you, you know, what's the single simplest piece of advice that you give to your clients when you're advising them? Some little nugget from you, Karen.
I think it is to sort of, you know, take a deep breath is the simplest advice, right? Just and sort of approach this moment as the capable, curious, you know, humble humans that we are, right? And bring that to the conversation. And I think this is where the conversation with leadership intersects so interestingly. And I'm not saying it's a different style of management. It's that moment of leadership and management that we're going to need to call on a lot and develop real kind of organizational muscle for, right? How do we make space for really good questions? How do we take the time and encourage and reward and incentivize people who are thinking carefully, right? And so that we can go, and it's a little bit of go slow to go fast kind of moment, but it's also the other piece of it. And it's not really simple advice because simple things aren't always easy, but it's that we've got to double down on the part that's human, not because it's flawed, but because to your point, when we bring a bunch of humans together, we're going to do better at managing these tools and using them effectively too, right? I mean, I'm not only for good, but just for benefit. That's going to be an interesting moment.
Well, that doubling down on the part that's human is very much speaks to our ethos. I mean, I'm conscious that we're running short of time, but I wondered, is there anything I haven't asked you that you know, out of my ignorance that you wish that I had?
I could talk to you forever about all of these things. So I'm sure. Yeah. I think you've covered it. I mean, I think this is a really, you know, taken in the right way, I think this is a really exciting time, and it's a little bit scary too. And I would just say that, you know, we just have to do the work. It's not, you know, it's complicated, but we just have to do the work, and it won't be done for us. And certainly the AI is not going to do it for us. So that's good to keep in mind.
Well, that's a wonderful place on which to end. And thanks so much, Karen. You know, as ever, conversations with you are always so enjoyable and enlightening. And many thanks as well for those of you who've been listening to Collective Intelligence. We'll put notes and links from this conversation in the show notes. And we look forward to you joining our next episode.
Thank you for having me.